Welcome to the Osmo Slate Starter Podcast as we get ready for NBA action November 19th, Friday, my mom's birthday. I need to remember to call her, mental note number two. I am joined by Anthony Gundacker, your friend and mine. What's going on, Gun?
Yeah, you definitely want to wish your mom a happy birthday. She might not vote for you in 2024.
That is true. That is, there's a platform there, EMAC 2024. It's a grassroots event here. I'm running on a non-denomination party. The campaign slogan, a pizza in every oven. I feel we can all get behind that. It's not overly inflammatory. Rule number two, we're going to all treat each other nicely. That's all we need. Just the basics, folks. Just the basics. But we're going to get going here. We've got a nine-game slate. We are brought to you by Yahoo. We'll talk about them in a bit, but they do have their $1 million baller this weekend. They're running it with again with some heavy overlay built in. That is probably the first place you want to start if you're going to be playing some contests. And even if you're stuck on the other sites or dedicated to the other sites, throw in one or two here. It's just $20 per entry. And again, it's $1 million prize pool that is only going to have $800,000 worth of entries. You cannot beat that. That's a negative 25% rake. As soon as the contest starts, you're winning money. Now you got to monetize it. You got to get there, but it's a lot easier than having to beat a full field. If you have not signed up for Yahoo, go ahead and go to the link at the bottom of our YouTube video here, or if you're listening on a podcast, that'll be about the fourth line down. If you look at the description, that's the Osmo link that takes you into Yahoo. If you are not yet a member there at Yahoo, you create your account off that link, put in a $10 deposit. Yahoo will give you a $10 deposit. And then once you play in your first paid contest, they're going to send an email to Osmo, and we are going to send you a coupon code that will get you 30 free days of all access Osmo premium content. And if that doesn't work for you, reach out to support. We'll hook you up, but we'll have all your information. That's a $90 value from Osmo. It's $10 from Yahoo just for your $10. That's like winning a GPP right there, Gundacker.
Yeah, it's can't beat that.
All right, let's look at a little bit of news here. A few games, a few teams on back-to-back. We have Golden State, the Clippers, Denver, and Toronto all on back-to-backs. We already know that most likely well, we're not entirely sure. Andre Iguodala was out on Thursday night. Decent chance they don't need him against the Detroit Pistons. Also want to bring that up because Steph Curry and or Draymond Green could also get a break here. We'll have to see. We'll wait and see. But that is the first game of the night, or one of the first two games. So we'll have that information. We're still waiting on news for Chris Duarte. He's missed the last two games with a shoulder issue. That would open a little bit of value for the Pacers. That is the other 7 o'clock game. We know Anthony Davis should be good to go. LeBron James is no longer doubtful or out. He is questionable, which is a slight change. We still don't know if he's going to play or not, but this is a game in Boston against the Celtics. The Celtics have a chance of getting Jaylen Brown back, at least at some point, they think, before the beginning of next week, which means either Friday or I think they play on Sunday. And then moving on to Brooklyn and Orlando, we still have Jalen Suggs questionable as we continue down. What else do we have? Terrence Mann has been managing his injury. This is a back-to-back for him. It's an ankle injury. He was close to playing on Tuesday, ended up being a late scratch, but was at least warming up. So he should be in the mix there. Amir Coffey got the spot start. Don't know why. Maybe didn't see. Maybe it's a birthday, an engagement, of child being born. This is a rare occasion, Gundacker.
Nick Batum is out.
Oh, then it was the old Nick Batum holiday. Gotcha. But there, I would have thought they would have started Kennard or a variety of other people's before it was Amir Coffey. And that looks like all the main moving parts here. Just check in. Precious Achiuwa is out on Thursday. May make it back on Friday. He's dealing with the sore shoulder. Those should be the moving parts there. Ken Birch drew the start on Thursday. We'll have to see as they take on Sacramento. Solid matchup for them. Gundacker, we're going to go the old point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center look here. We'll start off with DK, work our way into FanDuel, wrap it up each position with Yahoo. By the time we get about halfway through shooting guard, it'll be a jumble with multi-position eligibility. But why don't you kick it off here for us? Top of the heap there, no Luka Doncic. I guess I buried the lead there. He's out through the weekend. How are you feeling about Jalen Brunson? What else you got for us at point guard?
Yeah, so we basically get to run back the Mavs and the Suns without Luka once again. And we can basically just chase the points that we have from the last game and not feel like it's a bad process, even though, you know, chasing points is a little tricky. But 40-plus fantasy points came from Jalen Brunson, 37 minutes against Phoenix. He has definitely been a guy that has been a do-it-all, explosive, firecracker type of player for the Mavs. So 6,700, I'm not really too pushed back at that price point. So he would be one of the guys that I expect to pick up a ton of ownership at that point guard position and guard position in general. Also in the point guard pool, LaMelo Ball, host and the Pacers going at it. I think LaMelo's 10.4K price point on Charlotte is still a little rough around the edges. You need that 50 plus to feel like you're getting a good deal. It's definitely well within the range of outcomes, but I like the other side there. Malcolm Brogdon has been seeing 35 plus minutes in several games straight now, four or five. So even with their rotational ins and outs of Duarte's and Caris LeVert, stuff like that, Brogdon has been a constant for them. So I do like picking on the Charlotte Hornets. It is an up-paced team, a porous defense, and plenty of peripherals for Brogdon to get. And 8,600 on FanDuel, 83 on DK. I could definitely project that for mid-40s, and maybe if the game stays close enough, long enough, 50-plus. And I think you're going to hear me get behind a lot of Pacers throughout this show, because I do love picking on the Charlotte Hornets. Getting a little bit deeper into the point guard player pool here, there's not a whole lot that I feel super comfortable with on the low end, but I do think if we just chase in usage and minutes, Cade Cunningham, you know, I've made this example a couple times in the last week. At the All-Star break, is Cade Cunningham going to be 8.5K and we just regret not playing him at 6,400? He's been playing the minutes. He's starting to produce big time for fantasy. The peripherals are there. The shot efficiency has been a roller coaster. So if he starts shooting better, these, you know, 40, 50 fantasy point games could get even more deadly. And he's just 6,400. Last night against the Golden State, we saw Darius Garland get hot from the field, well over 20 points, real points for him. Cade Cunningham would have to be a guy that shoots really well for, I guess, for the Pistons to be in this one. And I still think 6,400 for his usage is still really, really cheap for the, you know, first overall pick. So I'm definitely going to be there on him. Reggie Jackson against the Pelicans, you can sign me up for that. And then as we get a little bit deeper to the guard end, this guy would probably be a good segue from point guard to shooting guard. But Patty Mills is still under 4K. And do we still have Joe Harris out? If Harris is still going to be down. Yeah, Harris is out. So Patty Mills under 4K, getting 30-plus minutes, even with the starters. The shot volume should be there. Most of his shots are going to be from downtown. I know Orlando's going to run a slower pace, but this is a really good price point for a guy with the opportunity that Mills might get. So plenty of options from the top end, the middle end, and all the way down at the low end to kind of get you started at the point guard range.
All right, so the update on Joe Harris officially will not play Friday against the Magic. He is going to miss his third straight. There's a chance he could return on Monday. So he's out through the weekend or Wednesday in Boston. That is courtesy of a Roto, well, formerly Roto World, now NBC Sports Edge, which I refuse to type in. Unfortunately, all their searches, just type in the player name and Roto World, I can still get there. So old habits die hard. Fred Van Vliet, that's the crossover between point guard and shooting guard. Of course, we have the Fred Van Elite Fan Club. I post that every time Fred Van Vliet is on the main slate. Right now we're running it with 75 people. It is on DraftKings. You can join the Osmo League and be notified every time I create that league, or you can just look for it on my Twitter feed. Best contest out there on DK, 10% user rake because it's user-created contest. Usually one or two people forget to set a lineup because they accept the invite or the alert from their phone and never go back. And then I'm adding $90 to a $75 prize pool, or I guess a $70 prize pool. So more than doubling it, because if you win with an Osmo avatar, I will get you 30 free days of all access Osmo premium content. If you win with the Osmo avatar, just send me a screenshot with your winning lineup and avatar, or shoot me a DM on Twitter and I will get you the coupon code that will get you 30 free days of Osmo premium content. You can also use that Osmo avatar across all of the sites. If you finish top three in any contest of any sort with 5,000 or more entries, shoot a screenshot to Osmo_COM indicating that you do in fact actually have the Osmo avatar. We'll get you on the Osmo Hall of Fame and we'll get you 30 free days of Osmo premium content. One sport promotion per calendar year, meaning you can't win that more than a couple times in a year. All right, shooting guard Gundakar. I am actually legitimately curious to see how Fred VanVleet does in a tougher matchup going against Utah. The matchup he will have on Friday night, much easier against Sacramento. Defense still optional in Sacramento, so that is something that plays into his favor. We've also got the Talen Horton-Tucker experience. He's up to 5,500 on DK. I still like that. Even if LeBron comes back, now we shouldn't expect 52 fantasy points. Probably shouldn't expect 47, but something in the low to mid 30s, even with LeBron, totally doable. They need Lakers need another ball handler. He definitely is up for the task, and he is good at playing off the ball and without the ball, so he can survive long enough with Davis and with LeBron when everybody's in action and still produce some stats. He can make the open jumper. He can get some rebounds and steals. So he is productive enough without the ball or without running the point that I think he will be an interesting option. And then Will Barton, our friend Greg Ehrenberg, here anointed him as almost getting the NBA cycle. He said that's when you are listed as probable, questionable, doubtful, out, and then you play. You need to make all five. Will Barton had four of those designations, ultimately ending up playing on Thursday night. We'll have to see if he's going to play on the back-to-back. Poor guy is just perpetually injured pretty much ever since coming over from Portland in a trade way back in the day. What do you like about some of these mid-tier guys? Paul George is floating around. Now he's shooting guard. Let's move him to one of the forward spots. But what do you like here for our realistic shooting guard people?
Yeah, I could definitely get behind your boy Fred VanVleet. What I love most about VanVleet, he's just out there playing minutes, right? This is like Jimmy Butler-esque peak of just 38, 39, 40 minutes in the game. So you get those type of minutes, that type of opportunity against Sacramento Kings. I'm in on that. Another guy that we expect to play deep minutes, really the whole team, but Gary Trent Jr., he's only 6K on DraftKings. OG Anunoby is going to be out for a while dealing with a hip pointer. So more opportunity for everyone, but especially these guys that are locked into big minutes and just minutes equal money in DFS. And I think the price points on both VanVleet and Trent leave meat on the bone for upside. So I definitely would not be skittish to get to those guys quite liberally. If we still get some injury bugs and news and concerns like that, you mentioned Talen Horton-Tucker. I don't mind him. I also don't mind some Eric Bledsoe. A little bit more risky, fringy guy. 25-35 is my window there, but he'll be in my player pool. And then depending on, you know, how the Jaylen Brown news shakes out, maybe you could find me with a little bit of Marcus Smart just because of the pace up spot that the Lakers will present. We'll talk more about that on the Tatum side of things. Milwaukee also going to run a fast-paced style of offense. Thunder have a really, really bad offensive efficiency, but if they're going to stay in it, it's not going to be just SGA. We've been seeing Lou Dort grow and expand in his involvement in the offense. He took 22 shots against Houston. We've seen him take double-digit shots for just about every game in his last 10-plus outings. And a majority of those shots are going to be from downtown. And, you know, if you're going to score against Milwaukee and try to keep that one competitive, it's probably going to be through the three ball. So maybe Lou Dort deserves a little bit more love from the field, and that's kind of the guys that stand out from where I'm standing now, pending news.
All right, just looking at a couple here. You got did you mention Dennis Schroeder?
I did not, but I guess
you kind of have to. It's a remember me game.
Yeah, I mean, you left that money on the table. Oof. Yeah, I guess all my Celtics interest would be contingent on Jaylen Brown news. With you mentioned he was not officially out. He's got that hamstring. He's missed quite a few. If Jaylen Brown's out, then I think it's, you know, right back to Schroeder in a quasi-Celtics stack.
All right. I'm just looking here. Midway through, or as we approach halftime in the second quarter, the Atlanta Falcons leading rusher is Quadre Olison, who the last news on any site was that he was waived at the end of the preseason. I couldn't find any transaction notation saying he was back with the team, and he is now, he has 5 carries for 28 yards. Keith Smith, who has 1 for 3, I guess. Keith Smith, or Keith Moon, the Who. Mike Davis, 2 carries for 1. Wayne Gallman, 1 for -3. Now you, Quadre was probably just in the stands and they asked him to come out after seeing these other guys perform. But oh boy, there, no, I don't think any site projected him. I've looked at 3 and I don't see him projected on any site. He wasn't on ours. So you know what? That happens even in today's information age. Back to the NBA. Let's see. We do have a Buddy Hield sighting here at 5,800 on DK. Minutes and shots have been there, even coming off the bench. He's come off the bench for the last 3, but he has played, where's his minutes? 25, 24, and 29. That's reasonable for him, but 12, 14, 17 field goal attempts. He's averaging, despite only starting 2 games this year, he's averaging almost 15 field goal attempts per game. So that is a reasonable opportunity against the Toronto in this matchup, but we'll see what else is out there. Of course, 12 teams in our player pool gives us a lot of options here. Plus, there'll be a lot of news. Let me just check and see what if anything, we should point out here on Yahoo through the first 2 positions. Van Vliet is 30. That's a reasonable opportunity. Jrue Holiday at 29. That's solid. He has played 38, 35, and 40 minutes in his last 3. Even, they're still going to be without Brook Lopez, but even with Middleton back, that's, Holiday's going to get his. Lonzo Ball down at 26. That's very reasonable price there. He's going against Denver, not the easiest of matchups at altitude there. However, he has, done quite nicely on this road trip here. 36, 33, 37, 37 minutes. In this stretch, he's averaging just shy of a fantasy point per minute. So he would be in the mix because you have Jalen Brunson at 25. That's not a great deal on Yahoo. Makes the other guy sort of intriguing as a pivot because, if you were taking them both straight up with their current matchups, what do you think what would it be? 6 out of 10 that Brunson would outscore Lonzo, but Lonzo has the 50 fantasy point upside. Even the new team, even with all the DeMar DeRozans and Zach attacks.
Yeah, I don't think it, so. Maybe not in this matchup. I'm not going to say Brunson for 50, but Brunson has upside as well. But I don't know. In that one, yeah, I'm with this.
It might gets close to 70-30. Yeah, Holiday at 29. It's not the slam dunk,
right? For sure. 100. Yeah.
All right, looking at shooting guard at Yahoo to see if anything pops. Nothing good. Patty Mills down there at 12. That's reasonable. Terrence Mann near the bottom or near the minimum. Will Barton at 25 would be a nice play if he is healthy. And then rounding out the small forwards, Zach LaVine, small forward. I did not expect to see that day, but there we are. Josh Giddey at 24 is interesting. Talen Horton Tucker at 21. That's about the max. If LeBron's out, he's an excellent play. If LeBron's in, becomes a little touch and go at $21, just because we haven't seen the 2 of them play together yet. That brings us through the end there. Let's go back over here to, where are we?
Small forward. Right?
So hit us a small forward here up at the top of the healthy players. We have a Kevin Durant. We've got the Paul George experience. You've got Jason Tatum, Miles Bridges. Boy, that it's a nice matchup for him going against Indiana. What are you seeing here for us? Wow, Zach is also small forward on Chicago. I must have missed that change. So.
Yeah, Chicago's been kind of limping without centers, Vucevic being down, and then, losing Patrick Williams and Javonte Green's been iffy. So they're pretty much playing positionless basketball. We've seen them start Lonzo, Caruso with each other, so it just kind of moves everyone. DeRozan, powerful.
DeRozan's technically had some time at the nominal 5, which I wouldn't have expected. So.
So yeah, it's just positionless basketball right now for the Bulls, and it's kind of working. But yeah, hey, Kevin Durant at the top of the likely active small forward pool. He's 11.4K. So the Orlando Magic are such a weird team where they have such a bad defense, third worst defensive rating in all of basketball. But they're always getting smoked. Their net rating is minus 10. And it looks like the line opening up on this one is going to be minus 13. So it's if you believe in projecting blowouts, it's supposed to be a lopsided game, uphill battle, and Kevin Durant and Harden will be on the ground with the seesaw up in the air on Cole Anthony. So it's kind of hard to trust the KD at 11.4K. So we scroll down a little bit more. Paul George a little bit more respectable. It's going to be night two of back-to-back against the Pelicans. Definitely like picking on the Pelicans defense. Mentioned Zach LaVine at Denver. Denver's playing their second in two nights. LaVine's another guy that just goes out there and he plays a ton of minutes. Him and DeMar DeRozan, they're usually going to get you 25 real points a game, maybe sometimes up to 30, and then they build on that with peripheral. So at LaVine's 8.6K price point, 40 plus is definitely within the range of outcomes, so I definitely don't mind that. Getting down a little bit further, a name that kind of is peculiar to me, kind of standing out, is Caris LeVert. It's just kind of like people forget that he's there. He's been about 30 minutes a game now. I mentioned it earlier. I'm going to love picking on the Charlotte Hornets for the foreseeable future. They play a fast pace and a porous defense. And Caris LeVert, his last couple games, it's easy to get lost in the sauce, man. Detroit, New York Knicks, we're talking meager paces, low totals. This is a pace-up spot. And Caris LeVert, in his last three games, according to my numbers, he's had a 28% usage rate. You put those usage rates in a pace up spot against Charlotte Hornets, definitely some meat left on the bone at 6700 could get us 40 plus, so I definitely don't mind that. Josh Giddey pace up spot, you know, it's gonna be sink or swim on Giddey, Dort, and SGA. I wouldn't have a high level of confidence there, but I get it. If the Warriors defense locks on to maybe a Cade Cunningham, a guy like Sadiq Bey, Jeremy Grant would have to pick up the slack. Sadiq Bey, much like Cunningham, also a shooter. He's going to chuck a bunch of threes, and maybe that game, you know, stays within 15-20 on the back of Bey having a 20-plus real point night. You mentioned Taylor Horton Tucker. My love and devotion for him would be contingent on the LeBron James news. But if LeBron's out, I'm okay with getting back there, but not as aggressively as maybe I had been. And then, you know, down here in the scraps level, Terrence Mann ended up active last night. He was kind of questionable. And then with Nick Batum kind of lurking, I think Luke Kennard could peek his head as a potential value play if Nick Batum misses another day. And then as you get even further deep, it gets really, really murky. So I would probably stop there. And then anything below that would be contingent on news that develops later on in the morning to the afternoon.
Have you looked at the Minnesota Lakers? Minnesota Lakers. Oh, boy. That was before my time, for the record. The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Right now?
I think it was the Minneapolis Lakers, maybe. Land of a Thousand Lakes. So they started off the season. Their first few games was really, really good. Their last seven, they're allowing 108 points per 100 possessions. They moved all the way up to middle of the pack with 105 points per 100 possessions. So whatever was happening is no longer happening with regards to their defensive improvement there. I thought maybe the new coach, few new players, everybody healthy at once, kind of a whole lot of new factors, but just doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, I think a lot of the early numbers, we love having fun with short sample size, and I think they might have been, you know, a product of some short sample size. I think Vanderbilt, Torrey Prince, Patrick Beverley, they got a couple of pieces that can be strong on the defensive side, but we never really feared D. Russ and Cat long term defensively, right. So maybe they're just regressing to the mean a little bit.
Yeah. Now, middle of the road would be, it's like the with the Wizards. That's one heck of an improvement from where they were.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. You can't ask for much more than that year over year to move up 15 spots. But it was just a little bit different because, every year it changes just a little bit. And, you know, right now, Golden State is leading the league with 96.9 right. points allowed per 100 possessions. That's insane. What has changed with them? They've gotten rid of James Wiseman, I guess, or he's been out with an injury. No more Kelly Oubre. But, you know, Washington now fifth best. they were perennially in the basement there. But a lot of movement there. Phoenix started out really on the lower end, and they're already number three again. So these things change. Everybody's got about 15 to 18 games in, I think, is where most teams are right now. So that's what, 20% of the season. Still plenty of time for wild swings to happen. Teams go on extended 5-6 game road trips that to the opposite coast, etc. Back-to-backs, go through the back-to-back elevation games in Utah and Denver, and stuff will change. But it was just interesting to see that pointed out there. I do want to point out here, again, we are sponsored by Yahoo. So if you're a new user, you come in through the link that is in the description of this podcast or our YouTube video, depending on how you are consuming this content, come in through that link, create your Yahoo account. And when you put in a $10 deposit, Yahoo will match you with $10 in site currency. Those are Yahoo Sports Rewards points, YSRPs. You can choose those at any time to use as your contest entry fee. As soon as you enter a paid contest and it locks, they're going to send an email over to Osmo with your information so we can reach out to you and get you 30 free days of Osmo premium content. It's a $90 value. It's an excellent deal there. This deal is not going to last forever, but you'll want to jump in that soon. And just to be clear, that is all Osmo content for all sites, for all sports, for 30 days. All right, let's round things out here. Moving over to power forward, and we'll see who we... Oh, Giannis. I guess that would be an important one. Let's see. There was some YouTube chat from his last game saying, I don't know that we want to take him against the Lakers. This is a bad play. Well, he ended up playing 36 minutes because, you know, Milwaukee needs the wins. They haven't had that many with a lot of their people hurt throughout the season. He was 18 to 23 from the field. Probably won't see too many nights like that, but he's going to shoot above 50%, 3-for-4 from beyond the arc, 9 boards, 3 assists, burying the lead there, 66 DK points. He scores 1.7 to 1.8 fantasy points per minute. He has done this for the last 3 years. We know what we're getting. And in competitive games, he is going to play some heavy minutes. Here is his games because he's been missing his teammates. 36, 34, 38, 36, 39, 30. If there's a chance to rest him, they will. 27 in an ass kicking against Detroit. But they need the wins because in that stretch of games, they're 500. That they're 4-3. That's not going to get it done even in the Eastern Conference. And if they want some home court advantage, they need to start moving in the opposite direction. So now that I've had my little Giannis tirade, he's 12,300 on DraftKings. We should have some pennies in the couch cushion we can utilize for our efforts here. But what do you want to do with him? What else do you have? And I'm going to check and see where that is on his career number. We did see Seth Curry at his career apex. This is the fifth highest Giannis has ever been in his career.
It's $200 cheaper than his last game against the Lakers. In that game, he dropped 47 real points. I mean, he just took flight. You mentioned and I think the hesitation by the field was a couple of moving pieces. One, he was 12.5K. You need to be the highest scorer on the slate, which he ended up being. The other thing is, you know, people poo-pooed on the Lakers. They didn't expect the Lakers to be that competitive that game. Taylor Horton Tucker made that competitive. And then the other caveat, Chris Middleton came back. So people don't really think through and they're like, oh, I can't play Giannis. Middleton's back. Well, Giannis has been a beast with Middleton. So all that just kind of made people second guess themselves and overthink it. And yeah, Giannis was the top play. Now today you're dealing with the potential blowout factor. We talked about the Brooklyn Nets being double-digit favorites already. They faced the Orlando Magic, who had the fourth-worst offensive rating in all of basketball. Well, the second-worst offensive rating belongs to the Thunder. And right now, it looks like some books are opening up this line at minus 13. And that's a pretty big number. And that might mean Giannis Antetokounmpo maybe doesn't get into the 35, 36 minutes. And, you know, that's hard to be confident in putting 12K on that. We've also seen Budenholzer in these games that they're supposed to route, sometimes rest people, find your load management opportunity. So maybe look out for some news throughout the day. But, yeah, it's a potential lopsided game here. So you got to trust the Thunder, maybe correlated, or you just think they're going to blow out because Giannis just can't be stopped and drops 40 real points, which is very possible.
And then one last thing we want to – DK has really increased the ceiling of their star players' salaries this this year, which it's the old 5x, 6x, which we should not be using anyway. We really need to use a constant in there because the value of the baseline position, et cetera. You don't want to do that. It's just easier to talk about it that way. That's breaking people's minds.
Yep.
And what it's doing is we're not seeing 400 point nights on DK, which remember at the end of last year we did, which was just insane. We're not always seeing 300 point nights where we did previously because of how they're doing their salaries. So you need to understand what the value of a fantasy point is if they're going to keep going this route, because this is something that we haven't seen in the last 3 or 4 years. So food for thought on that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of differences this year. If you came in, if last year was your first year, you saw so many 230, 240 totals. And now I was looking at scores from yesterday. It was a lot of 105s to 98s, a couple of under 100 games. You know what I'm saying? And it's weird. It's this new NBA, the new foul rule, stuff like that. So, yeah, you got to be able to adjust, make adjustments as you go. But back to the power forward position here. Giannis is going to be a product of, do you trust the game to stay competitive? Do you trust him to, you know, be the highest scorer on the slate? I think we would agree that he would at least probably have to lead the slate in raw fantasy points. The other guy I want to talk about, if Jaylen Brown doesn't go, the Lakers are running such a fast pace and really not backing it up with the great defense. If Jaylen Brown's still out, Jason Tatum, I think, still has that 50-plus fantasy point potential. You know, a couple games in his recent game log against some slower-paced team like the Cavs, there was a 3-4 back-to-back in there. And then against Atlanta, we started seeing stuff that we might expect from him in years past without Jaylen Brown, 50-plus fantasy points. We're seeing that field goal percentage, maybe his shot selection gets a little bit wiser. He took 12 threes against Atlanta. That's really not what you want to see Jason Tatum do. But because the Lakers have been so porous defensively and they run such a fast pace, I would be on Jaylen or Jason Tatum, but I would especially be on him if Jaylen Brown continues to be out. Scrolling down a little bit more, Domantas Sabonis is starting to get to that south side of 9K, and that's a happy area for me. Going against that Charlotte team, I keep mentioning it. They run a fast pace, their defense. I just love picking on them. I think Sabonis can get you mid-40s to 50s. It's going to be more volatile. I'm definitely going to set some correlation rules in my fantasy cruncher to, you know, not overexpose to the Pacers, but I've just seen team stacks pay off over and over against the Hornets, so I'll be there again. And then Kristaps Porzingis, with him and Brunson, again, without Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis just dropped 48 fantasy points in this matchup, shot 7-for-20. I was worried about the matchup, but he compensated for, you know, real points with peripherals, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and you know he's going to throw in the blocks and steals. So the usage rate, the numbers didn't lie. He's going to get it done. And for him to drop 48, for Brunson to have a dueling 40-plus fantasy point game on a team where they scored 98 points, like I just said, low scoring. We're still getting some big fantasy point games. So I expect Porzingis to probably also garner higher ownership, because I also think the field was a little hesitant in trusting him in that spot. I think more people were on Brunson than Porzingis because of the price points. But I feel like people might run back to Porzingis a little bit more here. Getting down a little bit deeper, Jeremy Grant's on the south side of 7K. We know big minutes and usage will be there for him. Like I said earlier, for the Sadiq Bey argument, if they key in defensively on Cade Cunningham, maybe that ushers some usage to a guy like Jeremy Grant. I don't have a high expectation for him going against Draymond Green in a coming home game MSU narrative. Keeping it moving, Bobby Portis, I was a little down on him with Middleton coming back, but you know, points per minute, got 29 minutes against the Lakers, so I wouldn't mind a little bit of exposure there. And then down in this value area, there's really not a high level of confidence on anyone in particular without some news here. I guess if Robert Williams were to miss another game, I could spike up interest in Al Horford and potentially Grant Williams. But I would need Robert Williams to be out.
All right. The one thing I did want to add on Kristaps Porzingis, since the beginning of last year, with Luka on the court, without Luka on the court, and overall, he is averaging between 1.61 Yahoo Fantasy points per minute and 1.18 Yahoo Fantasy points per minute. It truly does not seem that he and Porzingis, from a fantasy point per minute perspective, impact each other when one is on or off the court. Their usages between assist rate, usage rate, rebound rate, scoring, field goal attempts, though that makes changes. But overall, they're both so consistent. It's amazing. I didn't realize that until I looked it up to see what he had done without Luka previously, because we know Luka doesn't seem to be impacted. But I think this is partially a result of Luka just constantly playing with the ball in his hands and Porzingis just finally giving in to that's how it's going to be. It's not like Luka, we've had this, I think, can't remember if I had this conversation with you or if it was with Pete the Heat when he was on with me. But Luka is not selfish. He's got double-digit assists more often than not. It's just the way the everything goes through him. I mean, he like leads the league in touches and all that sort of thing. But it's just kind of interesting that it doesn't change. Now, what does change? He doesn't have to share shots. The floor is there. The likelihood of a better game is there. But this all seems to normalize throughout the season. But we still want to strike while the iron's hot when Luka's not there. It's just not the gimme that I think a lot of people might think at first blush. And I was one of those people until I looked it up. Hat tip there to NBA Wowie. Looking at Yahoo as we wrap up this position, then we'll let you take off with the point or with the centers here. Yeah, nothing to call out. Carmelo Anthony at 20 against Boston. Not if LeBron is back, because he's going to come back off the bench. You do have Josh Hart, who is $20. He's interesting, still getting the minutes, even with Ingram back. That is one where he can contribute enough with his rebounding and some of the other stuff that he's more, I don't know why he's a power forward. He's not a shooting guard either. He's sort of he's the positionless guy, Gundacker, but we got him at power forward. And then do we trust Metu again? He shot us all in the foot with 25 minutes, 4 points, 8 rebounds after having two nice games when entering the starting lineup. He's 14. Other value will appear, but he seems to be just a little bit of a flash in the pan there. As we wrap up the show, what do you got here at centers? Top of the heap, king of the hill, reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, Jokic is in a really good spot. It will be night two of a back-to-back, but it's he didn't have to do any travel. He can sleep in his own bed.
And he doesn't play defense.
And he's catching the Chicago Bulls, who really don't have a center. So he's going to be mismatched all night. Not that there's a positive defensive assignment to put on Jokic, but he's probably going to outsize all of his defenders by 5 inches plus for most of the night. So Jokic should really have no resistance. And I think you talked about points per minute without such and such. Well, it's a little limited sample size, but I was doing some research before yesterday's game, thinking about what the impact would be if Will Barton came back versus Jokic's point per minute. And it went from 1.8 without Barton to 2 with Barton. I was like, that doesn't make sense, but okay. So Jokic is just like an elite tier level play. He's the second most expensive guy on the slate. And then versus a couple of guys that are sandwiching him, right? Giannis is right above him. Luka's probably not going to play. There's Steph. There's KD in the 13-point spread. Jokic's spread is likely going to be a little bit more competitive, to say the least. Right now I'm looking at Denver. I'm looking at 7. So it's 7. Oh, no, that's for tonight. I'm looking at – actually, maybe I don't have one yet for Denver. Yeah, I don't have one yet for Denver. But I would imagine it's going to be somewhere competitive, probably within 6, within 5. So versus the other studs around him, Jokic is probably going to have the more competitive game. And then unlike a KD, a Harden, guys like that, there's really no way to put a strong Nuggets game without Jokic having a strong game. It's sink or swim. Jokic will be the backbone. So early on, have Jokic being the highest raw point scorer on the slate. I have him 4 points above Giannis in my first run. It is the night before. There's going to be a lot of screws to tighten up. But I definitely like him as my favorite pay-up option. That'll represent a lot of my center spot. Getting down a little bit more, JVL 9300 with Ingram back in the mix. I do feel like I prefer the 8K range for JVL versus the 9.3K. I'm looking for 50-plus fantasy points. Now, the Miami matchup wasn't favorable. We mentioned Washington making some key improvements, but we're also just seeing, like, some of the shot volume going down a little bit too. So I don't have the warmer fuzzies as much as I did without Ingram at 8K. Al Horford is a guy I kind of brushed over at the power forward spot, but I can get behind him a lot if Robert Williams ends up being out because of the Lakers' fast-paced stuff and because of the size they'll need from Horford. I think 30 to 33 minutes could be pretty lucrative for the peripherals and the stat stuffing that Horford's been doing. And we have seen centers and bigs. You just mentioned Giannis Antetokounmpo dropping 47. I'm not calling that for Horford, but I can read off a list of bigs that have just overperformed against the Lakers versus, you know, that front court Lakers defense from last year is just not a thing anymore. This year, it's just been bleeding and hemorrhaging fantasy points. So I definitely would be behind some Al Horford. And then probably my favorite center on this entire slate, points per dollar, and possibly favorite play, DeAndre Ayton is far too cheap on DraftKings. I don't understand it. I don't know what he has to do. I love the matchup against the Mavs front court. This is a repeat matchup where he got 36 minutes, 40-plus fantasy points on the nose. I think 6,700 gives me a soft cushion. If he just scores 35, I can live with that. But knowing 40-plus fantasy points is within the realm of possibility, and it becomes, you know, maybe even a stronger play if we get another game with Kaminsky out. It looks like Kaminsky will be out for this game as well. So a little bit safer in minute projection for him. So I'm behind Ayton 100%. He might be a tier one for me. And then past that, Zubac, let's see where he ended up. But he had like 17, 18 first half minutes yesterday. Looking over right now, he's at 27 minutes. So without Nick Batum, with Ibaka in the G League, I thought we could get deep minutes from Zubac and Hardenstein, and it seems to be the case for Zubac. So Zubac might serve a purpose against the Pelicans front court at 5,100 to get to 30-plus fantasy points. And then past that, there's really not a whole lot of guys that stand out depending or without news opening the doorway.
Yep, and wrapping it up there on Yahoo, you've got Pascal Siakam at 36. He did play 39 minutes prior to Thursday night's game. He'd been out with a shoulder injury, but we know that Nick Nurse runs his it's still Nick Nurse, right?
Nurse for the Raptors? So
for Toronto?
Yeah.
You know, it's late. I'm ready for bed. And I was thinking of – never. It doesn't matter. Darnell Nurse, but that doesn't matter. So you've got – we'll have to see what happens on the back-to-back. Again, it doesn't seem to be a conditioning thing. It's just a shoulder thing, but who knows. DeAndre Ayton, as you mentioned, 29. The blocks aren't there this year. He's only got about 10 blocks on the season, so not great. But – or I guess in his last 10 games. But – double-double is there. You don't get those on Yahoo. You really need the blocks. You've got Mo Bamba at 27 going against Brooklyn. That's interesting. And then final one, I didn't think I'd say this, but at $16, LaMarcus Aldridge has, despite the game 2 games ago where he did not play until the third quarter for no apparent reason, we're not sure why, laid down a monster the next night. He had arguably his best game of the season with 30 minutes, 24 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, and a block. That's 37 fantasy points. So aside from his 7-point dud, 37, 7, 32, 20, 33, 35, 16. So there's a possibility if he's going to get the minutes, and the minutes are probably 24 to 26, and it's going to be a dance all year between him and Blake Griffin as long as Nick Claxton is still out. The ceiling may not be there, but at $16, if I knew I was going to get 25 minutes, that's a little bit higher than what he's played up until the last game. But if we could get that, he's a smash. And I hate saying that word. I rarely do. This is how you know I'm really tired. He is actually a smash at this play, at this price. I know a whole bunch of adjectives. Why did I pick that one?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mac.
Oh, someone bring me my slippers.
I don't know if you remember this when you wake up, but Kyle Kuzma was 3 assists from a triple-double against the Heat. So,
and the Wizards lost by like 10.
Yeah, they still got smoked. I didn't have Kuzma, but I'm doing all right.
No.
We'll see.
No. Oh, goodness. Well, the key thing is you guys aren't going to have to wait long because Josh Engelman will be up bright and early with the Process Show at 6:30 Friday morning. 9:45, we've got the NBA Strategy Show. That's going to be Lofty and Adam breaking down the nine games. Then at 11 o'clock, we have On the Contrary. We've moved that from Saturdays to Friday after or early morning or the mid-mornings, so you get a little more shelf time. But check that out. It's going to be Alex Baker, special guest, and Dave Lochran. And then, of course, we have two other NFL shows and three NBA shows on Friday. We've got you covered, including a special half hour extra after lock for Yahoo on Friday. So that'll be a 90-minute live before lock. Well, and 60 minutes live before lock, 30 minutes after lock. You'll want to check that one out. Yahoo is starting their games tomorrow at 7:30 because we're running our show. So you'll want to check that out. It's going to be Josh Engelman and special guest. You'll have to tune in and see who that special guest is. With that, we're going to get on out of here. Gamers, you can follow me at EmacDFS. You can follow Gundacker at Gundacker. And of course, it's Osmo_COM. Good luck.